All right, good afternoon, everyone. Hope this your first day of the build has been fruitful. And I bet it's kind of overwhelming with so many new technologies and services we're introducing today. And this session happens to be one of the last sessions of today. We will do the best to energize you, to keep you awake. And let's get started. So having said that, let me officially welcome you to our today's session. And our session is about how do you get started with Azure Database for MySQL. And this service, along with PostgreSQL, was just announced a public preview this morning at Scott's keynote. And we're so excited about it. We have four of us to come on stage to share what the service is about and our customer journey. So I want to quickly introduce the speakers. I'll start with myself. My name is Gabi Leung. I lead the MySQL team. That team actually is mostly based in Shanghai, Microsoft. I myself also come from Shanghai. And we have Jason Anderson, and he's our GPM on MySQL. He's actually based here in Redmond. And then we have our two honor customer coming on stage to share with our story. One is Matt Williams from Vancouver School District 42. By the way, that's a Vancouver in Canada, not the Vancouver in Washington. We also have Kelvin Lasoto from GeekWire. Everybody knows GeekWire, and also come here on stage to share their experience. All right, starting with our agenda here, we actually have a very simple agenda. I'll share with you, Jason and I will share you about what the service is about, and we'll do a demo. Then we'll also talk about the how our MySQL is deeply integrated with Azure Web App Services. And then we will have our Kelvin and Matt come on stage to share about their story. Those very simple three agendas. And let's start with our services overview. So for those of you who were at Joseph's earlier session this afternoon, this slide may look familiar. Or if you were at Sunil's PostgreSQL, this is also similar. Before I get started, I want to take a quick poll of you. How many of you are using SQL Azure today? Wow. How many of you are using MySQL on-premise? Okay, and how many of you are using MySQL on VM on Azure? Okay, wow, you got a mix of all of them. Okay, great. I'll try to address all of the needs with our sharing here. So this slide is important in the sense that it is our PaaS service, that all our SQL database and the SQL DW is built on top of it. And both of the service has been running for a couple of years and with tens and thousands of customers. So this PaaS platform is really proven, robust, and scalable. And it is really, as you can see, scalable. We have 38 regions. This service is, this platform is built on Azure Service Fabric that's spanning on 38 regions. And with this Azure Database platform, there's a couple of key things I want to call out, which I can drill further about why it's important, because that's why MySQL and PG is built on top of it. First of all, there's three features. First of all, it's intelligent. When I say intelligent, what does that mean is it actually can provide self-diagnosis, and it can provide tips and advisors for DBAs to consider to optimize your databases. And it's all starting with monitoring alerting. And it helps to monitor your key critical resources and gives you alerts so you can take actions. That's the intelligent part of it. And it's also trusted. Now, Microsoft Cloud takes trust really dear to our heart. This is one of our key differentiators. And when we want trust, we really mean three things. First one is available, high availability. And our high availability comes by default. And I'll talk about it in more details. And also reliable, okay? We'll provide backup by default as well and restore. And another thing about trust is security, really. I think everybody cares security, and Microsoft really, really pays huge attention to security. I have a special slide to talk about security a little bit later. And flexible. When I mean flexible, it's really built on intelligence. When you have your situation monitored and you sense a surge coming up, the traffic is going up, you can actually scale up and down with no downtime of your app. Okay, you can scale up and down with no downtime to your app. That's the flexibility, and we'll show you later. So keep that in mind. The three new features are this platform that's really where SQL DB, you know, SQL DW, and today MySQL and PostgreSQL is built on top of it. Now, our team has been working very closely with this platform team, not only to make the MySQL runs well on this platform, also this platform is optimized for those services sitting on top of it, including MySQL. All right, now within that frame context in mind, let's drill a little bit further into MySQL database. So what does it mean for a developer or dev or DBA? What feature do we bring on the table by announcing the service today? Okay, let's start with provisioning. Okay, provision only takes a few minutes, very quickly. And for those of you who are using VMs, you can imagine what life looks like. You're trying to spin up VM, you're trying to download image, and you're trying to get it up. If you want to even do high availability, you can have to just set up a cluster. Even with a familiar DBA, I was just talking to one of the audience here, like it takes a long time to even set it up. Now we have that. Also, we have the high availability is built in. Keep that in mind. It's a built in high availability. We really view high availability as something any cloud provider should provide to our customer as a benefit using cloud. It's not something we should monetize on. And how it works, we have a couple of replicas of your data set up for you in the region that your server runs. And in the case, in the event that your server goes down, we quickly spin up another server and switch the server talks to the replica data. And your application, all this happens within a minute. And your application wouldn't even notice the downtime. That's how we provide the built-in high availability. And this is a no-cost issue, not like some of the providers that you have to buy the availability zone and set it up, all that. Nothing like that. This comes as no cost for you, the high availability. Okay? And then we have also predictable performance. What does that mean? We actually provide easy way for you to size your database so you can get started very quickly. Now, hey, what happens? Like, I made a mistake. I need more or I need a less size. No big deal. You can scale on the fly. Like I mentioned earlier, you can scale between different SKUs, you know, with compute power or IO ops without any downtime to your application. Okay, and then security, I mentioned. We not only provide a lot of the native security measures that comes with the MySQL, we also encrypt your data, whether it's a data that's data disk that's at rest, or backup data, or the application data that's in motion. So that's the security, and I have a whole slide talk about that in more detail. Backup. Okay, some of you, how many of you use like other cloud in addition to Azure? Oh, there are ones. And I don't know, I think you probably remember your experience with that, right? You have to pick, this not comes by default, right? Right? And here, it comes by default. You do not have to select, I do want backup. We gave you backup by default. And guess what? Even better, we provided the restore within point in time restore up to 35 days. You don't have to pick 7 days or 14 days. We'll give you 35 days by default. And the best is, for some other providers, you have to calculate. Are you going to use the storage for your database? How much are you going to use for database? How much are you going to use for for backup? Right? Not here. The storage used for your backup comes free. We provide that free for you. Keep that in mind. Those are differentiations. Now, I mentioned deep integration with our web apps. And if you are using like the WordPress, all this, it took very few steps to get this up using the deeply integrated MySQL as backend. So those are the key features that we bring on the table for a database as a database for MySQL. Now let's look at, I want to reflect a little bit. I just mentioned I come from China, right? Even though today we announced a public preview, it really doesn't mean we're not familiar with MySQL. The journey started quite a while back. 3 years ago, when we started the China instance of Azure, we had no partner offer. Some of you today using our partner offer from ClearDB in the US. Yeah, so people nodding heads. Unfortunately, at that time, due to all kinds of complexities and complications, we cannot bring the partner offer to China. So, and yet, the MySQL demand in China was proportionally higher than the US, actually. It becomes a blocker for China customers to use our Azure services. So my team started as a POC with just 3 devs and trying to get it going, trying to provide a fully managed services. And we were able to GA the service a year and a half ago. And it's become a fully managed services. It's using a different architecture because back then we do not have a microservice architecture like Service Fabric available on Azure yet. It's using VM architecture, but it is fully managed. All the features, most of the features we mentioned earlier is available. Of course, you know, so this is, we will converge to the same platform as soon as we take this service to the global platform, to the GA status. But this service has been running so well that it's one of the, you can see, we have multinational companies in that China using them as well as local companies. And they've actually been asking, where is it on global Azure? What kind of companies do you have in China? So today, you know, we're announcing this in the global. Now the team's working together to bring this to the to the global Azure to benefit a lot more customers who's been waiting for it. Okay, so that was a bit history. So really, we have been working on this for a while, and we actually have a service running. Now let me drill a little bit further into the service fundamental. How does it work? You know, I mentioned all these great, cool features. How does all this coming together? Let's start with a, you know, how we resources manage it from that perspective. I think since so many of you has been working on Azure, this is pretty easy to understand concept, right? Azure managed resource starting with account. You know, you could have an account, Azure account, then within that account, you can have one or multiple subscriptions. And with subscription, you have resource group. This resource group is really the larger container of all the related resources together you can govern with, right? And then, so in with this concept, the Azure Database for MySQL is really considered a resource, a server resource, within this resource group, okay? Now, and it's pinned to a particular region, to your server region. Now, one difference I want to call out, since quite a few of you are using SQL Azure Databases, is SQL Azure Database, it governs the data resource at database level. It really manages the resource at database level. However, MySQL is different. It actually governs at the server level. This will follow the today's MySQL just community. We're using community version edition, by the way. So you can create many databases, as many as you want, to pack them in the high density within the server. So it's really governs at the server level. That's the difference on that one. And that's just a follow. If you're familiar with MySQL, this is just how MySQL works, and we just comply with it. And we provide an endpoint, you know, for you to connect to the server, and so you can do the normal connection strings, all that connections, just like you do on premise. Okay, now with that bit introduction about how the resources are managed, let's go into our DevOps experience. Whether you are a DBA or you're a developer or you're combined DevOps, okay. So first of all, let's start with the management, we call it management plane, right? How do you manage it? Which means how do you create it? How do you configure it? And there's really three ways you can do that. First of all, you can through command line. For those of you who love to use command line, we have command line options. And we also have portal. Okay, you can go through our Ibiza portal to create it. And also you can through, maybe you have one of your most favorable customized applications that you use to create instances. There you go, you can use that as well. And those command will talk through the standard REST API to the Azure Resource Manager. And then this Azure Database Platform will act upon those commands passing down through REST API and talk to the MySQL server and create those instances. So this is an action that you would do as a DBA or DevOps that's trying to do create or manage, configure your instance. Now, what about applications? You know, how do I application connects to my database? And that is really no different from how you do today, whether you're using on-premise or you're using Azure VM to host MySQL. So whether you're using like workbenches or PHP admins, that are the tools that you're really familiar with, or you have application connects to, you can use just standard your connection string, talk to the MySQL database. So that's just really high level, you know, and we have a demo later to show you on this. So I promised I would talk about security in detail. So we actually have three layers of security built on for MySQL. First is the native authentication that's coming from the MySQL. So whatever you're familiar with, you know, how you create users, different users, and give them different permissions and access controls, that all works, okay? Now on top of that, we actually built in by default the SSL connection between your connecting application to the server. And we give you instructions about how do you configure your applications with certificates so you actually can establish that secure access. Okay, This is Microsoft. We really take security to heart. Now, but we also understand many OSS stacks that works MySQL may not have easy way to really configure the SSL. So we let you to opt out as well. So you have an option to opt out. Okay, it's commonly default, but you can opt out. We also have this server-side firewall rules, all that, so you can set additional access control at IP address layer. That's another layer of the security. On top of that, whatever Azure's default security features have, we will provide to you. I mentioned a little bit of early encryption, right? You can encrypt your data, either the backup data that's at rest, or your application data that's in motion. That all comes by default, okay? So the three layers of application, security building. Now, I kind of introduced, you know, the high level of the features and how it works and the security. I think there's one question if our developer were dying to know, and that would be performance skills, right? Now, let me turn the stage to Jason so he can talk about that topic and also do some demos. Yes.
Thank you, Gabby.
You're welcome.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about what the actual service entails from a offering perspective and drill a little bit into how we think about performance, how we rate performance, and what's available. So first, just to make things fun and confusing, we're introducing a new term. So for those of you that are used to SQL DB today and understand what a DTU is, it probably took a while to understand it. We have to obfuscate it a little bit because the hardware, I'll talk about that, but we're introducing a term called compute unit. And before you groan, because it's a new term, this is actually a good evolution. The reason being is a DTU, just as a reminder, is a blend of CPU, RAM, and I/O, specifically disk I/O. What we've done with Azure Database for MySQL, as well as PostgreSQL, and this will be coming to SQL DB at some point, is we're disaggregating compute from storage from a performance perspective. So a compute unit is purely a blended measure of CPU and RAM, and we take hard drive separate. I'll talk about hard drive, actually not hard drive, storage separately. I'll talk about that in a minute. So what does a compute unit mean? So 100 compute units roughly equals one core. And the reason I say roughly equals is because the hardware that we have distributed throughout 38 regions of Azure differs. We've had Azure running for quite a while, so we have some older generation hardware, like Gen 2 hardware. One core is very different than a Gen 5 piece of hardware of one core. So we have to kind of normalize that a little bit. So in those older hardware, there'll be maybe a core and a half or two cores, and maybe it's a half a core in a Gen 5. I'm making that up. That's not exact, but my point being is this roughly equivalents to a core. So when you think about a compute unit, 100 compute units, roughly one core, okay? In addition to that, what this does, disaggregating the storage piece, it allows you to create a server instance where you can determine where your performance bottlenecks might be specific to I/O and compute and separate those two. So for example, if you had a workload where your compute resources that were needed on the MySQL server were relatively small, but you needed really super fast response time from an I/O perspective, you'll have the ability to have effectively provisioned IOPS in a very low compute 100 instance as an example. I'll talk about that a little bit more in this slide. So let's talk about the performance tiers and what's available today. Actually, what I'll talk about first is what's going to be overall available, then I'll talk a little bit about what's available today because it's a little bit different. So we have a basic performance tier. This will be very similar to, for those of you that are using SQL DB, will understand this. We'll have a basic, standard, and premium performance tier. The basic performance tier will have SKUs of 50 and 100 compute units. They will come with 50 gigabytes of included storage. And again, as Gabby mentioned, you don't need to worry about your backups taking up that 50 gigabytes of storage. That's all in the back end. You get that for free from us. This is just your database storage, simple to manage. Now, for basic, that storage layer is based off of our magnetic remote media, so basically hard drives that are separate from the actual hardware the instance is running in. So by nature, spinning media is a little bit slower than SSD, and in addition, it's remote, so you're going to get some network latency in there as well. So there's no guaranteed IOPS in this case. So theoretical IOPS with standard storage in Azure is 500, but it's shared disk usage, so other tenants could be using that disk and suck up most of those IOPS, so there's no guarantee there, okay? Now, additional options. You can scale your storage up after the fact up to 1 terabyte in basic SKUs. And that will be available in 125 gigabyte chunks. So if you want to go up from a 50 to the next tier, you go up to 175 and so on, up to 1 terabyte. So that's what's available today for basic. Standard. So the key difference with standard are two things. Number one, you see many more compute unit options, many more SKUs. So 100 compute units all the way up to 2,000 compute units. So again, roughly one core up to 20 cores. Big difference here on the storage side is that these instances are using remote SSD. So of course, you're going to get higher IOPS as a result. And in fact, we have guaranteed IOPS in this particular case. So we have IOPS scaling of 3 IOPS per gigabyte. You get 125 gigabytes instead of 50 to start. So out of the gate, you provision a S400 instance with 125 gigabytes. You'll have guaranteed 375 IOPS with that instance. If you increase that storage, the IOPS scaling goes with it. So your IOPS increase. So if you decide that you really need that low IO latency, but you don't want to move into the premium tier, or the premium tier is not available as it is not available at this point, you can actually just provision additional storage and you get additional IOPS. Okay? And this slide, okay. I was thinking it was incorrect, but so scaling up to 10 terabytes, that's not available today. That will be available in the future, so I'll get to that in a second when I talk about what's available public preview. So we talked about increasing IOPS or increasing storage, and then our premium tier. And this is very early. Premium really is not going to become available for a number of months. We're working through hardening it, but the key difference with premium, actually the only difference with premium, is we're based off of local SSD, so that SSD is in the box the instance is running in, removes all of the network latency. IOPS scaling is 10 to 1, so with 125 gigabytes, you get 1,250 IOPS. Now, the other gotcha here that we're going to be introducing will be the ability to provision additional IOPS independent of increasing your storage. So if you really need to have a super high IOPS scenario, but you don't need 250 gigabytes of storage, you'll be able to do that. And that will go theoretically up to 40,000 IOPS, okay? Now, all of this is built on top of the Azure database, relational database platform Gebby talked about. So what comes with that? So number one, which is a key thing, is 4.9 SLA high availability, all built into the platform. So no configuration needed. You don't need to set up replicas on your own and manage failover logic and so on. This is all built in. The way we do this is we maintain up to 3 replicas of, not instance replicas, but replicas of your databases in the region. And in the event that you have a failover, or in the instance your server instance fails, we spin up a new instance, point to that replica, and overall downtime is less than a minute. So most applications are resilient enough, we find, especially WordPress as an example, users won't even see it if you've got caching set on. So that's why we say no app downtime. That's all built in. No extra cost for that. You don't need to pay for an instance or deploy in multiple availability zones or anything like that. And then online performance scaling. So this is really cool. So let's say that you want to go ahead and deploy your app and you're testing it out. You start with a basic 100 and your testing is great. You do a bunch of load testing internally. Looks fantastic. And you roll it out and you realize, oh my word, it's my CPU, my compute units are pegged. You'll be able to scale that instance up all the way up to a premium 2000 if you want, or you can provision it down if you need to as well. That all happens on the fly, meaning using our HA framework, there's no app downtime. You can hit that scaling, hit OK, and it just happens. You'll see that later in action. Now, what's available today? So today, for standard, we'll have 100 to 400 compute units available. And we are limited today at 1 terabyte in storage. So that will be increasing, like I said, over time. Okay? So where are we today region-wise? So we're currently in 4 geos, 11 regions that are available. I'm not going to read them off because you can all read that. This will be changing within weeks. So we are rolling out as fast as we can right now. So I would say if it's not in the region you're interested in, be patient. It will be there very soon. It's just a matter of deploying to regions is all that matters. We just wanted to make sure we had that basic geo coverage to start, but that's where we're currently at this point. So more coming soon. same regions that are available for PostgreSQL as well. So everything I just talked about up to this point here is exact same with Azure Database for PostgreSQL. That's the beauty of it. If you're using both, it's a consistent model, and it all works the same, okay? But at the end of the day, it's really all about the apps, right? I mean, as a developer, you don't really want to worry about managing your database and the server and all of that. You want to just set it and forget it. It's kind of like plumbing, right? So let's talk a little bit about apps. So the beautiful thing about the fact that we're based off of MySQL Community Edition, we make no changes to the engine at all, is number one, there's no PaaS lock-in, right? But number two, there's no concern about your apps working in our servers, in our service, okay? All your tools that you work, your dev tools, your deployment tools, your migration tools, the frameworks that you use, all of those are gonna work the same way they do today. We're not gonna pull you to some new dot something else. You can use what you use, and it all works. And in fact, the migration experience pretty fantastic. I mean, some cases for some apps, it's just change your connection string, right? When you migrate your data, change your connection string, and voila, you're done. It's really nice. So let me talk a little bit about some of the Azure magic, as I would say, outside of the PaaS platform. We really work closely with the Azure Web Apps team to be able to provide solutions out of the box for customers. And this is valuable not only for technical people that want to just save time, but even this is something that a fairly limited technical Azure user could do very easily. It could provision, for example, a WordPress or Drupal website with literally one provisioning experience. And I'll show you that in a second. So right now, we have for MySQL, we have WordPress, we have Drupal, we have PHP. There's more coming. And there's for Postgres, we've got Django and some others as well. So this is really a slick experience. So with that, why don't I just jump into the demo, because that's always a lot more fun. And of course, the fun part here is I have to log on. Hey, look at it. Windows Hello just worked. I love that. Okay, so let's start. Let's start with the Azure Web Apps experience. What is that like today? So this is live in the portal. This is not staging code or anything. This is what you can actually do today. So I'm a user. I just want to deploy a WordPress website. It's that simple. So what am I going to do? I'm going to search for WordPress. Okay, I may not even know there's a MySQL backend to it, okay? I just know that I'm a WordPress guy and I just need to do this. So, I search for WordPress and you see there's a bunch of things here, but what's new, actually what's not new, this has been here, but WordPress on Linux, I'll just use that one because, open source Linux and all that. So from here, very straightforward. Let's go ahead and let's call this and what day is today? It's 0510. Let's just do that. Okay, great. Automatically populated a new resource group for me, which is nice because then I don't have to type it in. Now, if I click down database provider, for those of you that have used web apps in the past, you'll notice that there's a new offering in addition to ClearDB and MySQL NAP. So I'm going to choose Azure Database for MySQL. It's deployed in the service plan that I normally use. I want it in US West, so we'll start there. And then database settings. So now here comes the MySQL part. Now, we pre-populate as much as we can here for users that just want to go with defaults. So I'm just going to stick with that. So I got my server name, which effectively is a concatenation of my app name with a MySQL database server. Same thing for admin name without the site name, obviously. So let's put a password in. In fact, actually, let me show you something. Let me just... Okay, well that's, so I tried to type in root, and this is evidently a bug we'll have to fix, but in the native experience, if you type in a band name for MySQL as a user, it'll flag that for you, but that's because that's the password. Okay, let me show you that here, actually, in the right spot. There we go. Saying, hey, you can't use root as a user account name, so anyway, let's go back. All right, we're going to provision. So right now we have both 5.6 and 5.7 available. The latest point release, so right now it's 5.7.17. And let's go to the pricing tier. kind of a visual of what I was showing you earlier. So, as you can see right now, its default is 100 compute units, but I'm going to do a real basic slide. I'm just going to slide that down to 100. And I'm okay with 50 gigabytes of storage, so I'm just going to leave it at that. And database name, since I'm a WordPress guy, I like my database to be called WordPress. I'm going to call it that. Now, before I deploy this, I can just click, I'll do it in a second, click create and deploy, but also I can, if I go to automation options, it gives me the ability to just download the template that I just created. So if I want to save that for use later, I can go ahead and download it, save it, and then, here it is in my downloads folder. And we'll get back to that in a second. But let's go back. Let's kick this off. And we'll let that deploy. Now, the deployment's in progress. So now, while that's in progress, let me just quickly show you my very fancy WordPress site that I created about 25 minutes ago. What I wanted to show you here is, number one, a site that's actually running, but you'll actually get really interesting site demos here in a minute from real customers, not just me. But what I wanted to show you is on my dashboard here, I've done a couple of things. I've pinned a metrics blade here that we have in our experience. And what's interesting is you can see that, hey, I've got some real high compute unit spikes here. Okay, so let's drill into this a little bit and see what this actually shows. So I can pick a bunch of things, and I picked everything except IO percentage because since I'm in the basic tier and it's remote magnetic media, I can't report any IOPS usage anyway. So, but I can do that in bar and line. I can do it hour for the whole day. But the really cool thing about this is if I go into the database instance itself and head on into the let's go to the alert rules. I can actually set up alerts based on things that I care about. So what I did earlier is I set up an alert for compute unit. So let's open that up and take a look at it. I set up an alert to tell me that, hey, if I go above 40% of my total compute units that I have, send me an alert. And what that alert sent to me was, it sent to my email address. And I actually have the email in my phone. It just buzzed as I was sitting down and I got the alert. But I also can connect it up to a Logic app if I wanted to as well. So the idea being that in the future, we'll be able to have the ability to set it up such that you'll be able to auto-scale as needed. Right now, you have to manually go ahead and act. If you get to a point where you hit an alert and you want to scale up, you can go through and very easily do that. And you'll see that in some other demos, so I won't show that to you right now. And then last thing, really quick. I mean, for those, how many of you do ARM template deployments today? A few of you, okay. So, I mean, the beautiful thing about templates is it's very, very simple to do. So here's the template that I downloaded. There's basically two key templates here. If I'm going to provision from, like, PowerShell, for example, there's the template.json and parameters.json. The template.json is kind of the basic info. Let's take a quick look at it. It's the basic information that you don't need to modify to deploy the site based on that deployment that we created. So it's what it's doing here is it's looking for the parameters JSON file, which has a bunch of strings calling out the specific things that you would customize your database name and things like that. And then it goes down and provision an Azure web app and then pulls the WordPress installation from the Docker registry and creates a Docker container for it. So that's the template. And then the parameters, this is where you would edit yourself and then change the things that you would want to change. Let's go to parameters. There we go. You know, what region you want to be in, what your server name is, and so on. So, but I won't go into more detail there. It just from there, you can go to the CLI and you can provision it and do it that way. But the portal's so pretty that I figured I'd show you the portal. So, that's it for my demo. So let's switch back real quick. And the key thing really here at this point, I mean, what I've shown you is, you know, what's there in the portal, and I showed you a really lame website. But, don't take it from us. I want to have you listen to a couple of our key customers come up and tell you what they've done. And I'll start with Matt. Why don't you come on up, Matt? And I'll let Matt introduce himself and tell you his story. So, all right, here you go, buddy.
Thanks. Hi. Let me go forward a slide here. I'm Matt Williams. I'm a systems analyst at School District 42 in Maple Ridge, BC. So we're School District 42. We're responsible for about 15,000 students. Population of the area we're responsible for is about 100,000 people. So we're not a huge school district compared to some regions, but we're a good size. So with our school district website, we're on premise. Our website, we had some issues with it as far as performance. We really had to over-provision the servers that we were running in order to survive some issues as far as traffic spikes. Normally, we'd sit around 15,000 users a day, as the parents or staff are using the site here and there. But then if we hit a snow day, like we had some pretty good snow in the area this past winter, we could get 80,000 page views in an hour, which when your web server is used to 15 a day, 80,000 an hour makes it do some fun things. So we really had to make sure, like our web server, we were running it with like 16 gigs of RAM just to survive one day a year that might happen so that we didn't have to do anything with it. It was it wasn't the best use of our resources at the district. And we had to manage everything as far as, the web server, had to make sure it was running right, caching was running properly for the web server. We had a MySQL server on-prem that we were running as well. And so we moved that to Azure. And like probably most people, we evaluated the different options we had as far as MySQL. We decided that the best choice for us was an IaaS VM. We could get the performance we needed, and it was really easy to tell, for me anyways, as an infrastructure person, what performance I would get out of an IaaS VM as compared to, trying to translate what a DTU was or some other performance measurement. But we still had to over-provision our IaaS VM to survive the snow day so that we didn't have to scale our front end and the back end. The front end under our app services would scale for us, and that was really great, and it worked really well. But still the back end, I had to manage the VM, manage MySQL in the VM, make sure that everything was running well. And it did run well for us. We ran this last snow period through with running on the IaaS VM and had some pretty good performance on that. But again, it had to be over-provisioned. So we moved to the Azure database for MySQL service maybe about a month and a half ago. And when we did some load testing on dev to see what kind of performance numbers we were getting, with caching turned off on the front end, we were seeing better performance than we were getting with caching on in the front end on production. So we knew that it would handle the loads that we were looking for in the tiers that were available to us at the time. So we decided to make the move to with production. And the migration was pretty simple. We just used the tools inside Workbench to do a migration of the database, made sure that there was nobody editing content or anything like that at the time. And then FTP'd we had to move the site into US West out of Canada East, because at the time the service wasn't available in Canada East. It's still not, the little dot wasn't on the screen yet. I was disappointed. So we moved our web server, and that FTP took forever, like 4 or 5 hours to run the FTP. And then lit things up, changed the connection string in the config file, and we were up and running. It was pretty simple. It worked well for us. The one thing we had to do was delete the transient records, because they didn't like the new database as far as everything was moved, new IPs and that sort of thing. So deleting the WordPress transient files and or records in the database, and everything worked great. So that was like a really quick run through of three relatively boring slides. And I'm going to switch over to a demo here. And my computer is restarting, which is awesome. So what we're going to do is hijack Jason's computer. Yeah. Okay. So we'll just do this and think on the fly. What's my website? New keyboard. So this is us. This is our website. There's a lot going on. WordPress, for us, this front page is really heavy. There's like 180-something database queries on this first page. You know, every one of these boxes has multiple content. These are all built on the fly when caching is turned off. It's on right now because they get mad at me when I turn it off. That's our website. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to scale this live website up from a basic 50 to a basic 100. My custom ADFS login page. Sorry, I got a lot of stuff going on here in Azure. It takes a couple minutes to load sometimes. So this is the test database, and we'll go into production. So there's a couple ways that I can scale this. One is right in the portal, and it works really well because I did it 30 or 40 times over the last couple days preparing for this. I just grab this little slider, move it to the right, and say OK. And the website. We'll go back. Let's refresh. It's still loading. I can move around. I can show you my daughter's new elementary school. She's going in. Oh, I broke it. That page wasn't cached. So the front end's cached, so I get response on most of the pages that people go to. Apparently, my daughter's elementary school is not popular. And it takes about a minute. And I have $116 left. That's my MSDI account. I don't use it enough, I guess. So we'll see what happens here. And it finishes. I was going to show you Workbench while this was doing its thing. But since my computer restarted, I have to remember how to connect to it. This is fun, because this works. So here's the Cloud Shell. And here's some of the fun things you can do inside the Cloud Shell. If you can read that, it's kind of small, hey? So we can scale it from the cloud as well. I probably shouldn't do that until this is done scaling, though. But here's some of the things we can do inside the Cloud Shell. Oh, look, we're done. All right. So now we're on 100. And we'll make sure that page works now. So you can tell that it was a live demo. And this is, in fact, a live website. And I really did break it. So there we go. Some nice fall colors. So scale it back. See if I can remember. See, now I forget. Zoomed a little bit too much and I can't scroll up. Thank you. So we were at 100. Let's go back to 50 and try not to break the website. So this will just take a minute. It literally takes like just under a minute to do. And my computer started working again. So I can do this. And I'll come back to that. Oh, I have to VPN. It was VPN'd in. I'm going to do this really quick because I'm running out of time. So this IP security, I can only VPN in if I'm connected through my data center at work because I whitelisted my WAN IP. So here's Workbench into my database server. It has a few different databases running on it. This is the district main website here. These are some other school websites and an API we're building, all inside the same database server. And here's a select command that's handily already ready for me. And you can see there's the posts off of the district website. So we can play with the data on the cloud inside Workbench. And I see on Jason's computer the scale just finished. So it's easier to tell when it finishes in CLI because it gives you the JSON output. And my website is still here. There we go. That's all I want to show today. Thank you.
All right, now we'll like to introduce Kevin Lozada from GeekWire. Kind of an interesting story. He'll kind of go into more detail of it, but he sends an email to our EVP, Scott Guthrie, saying, hey, I want to move our website over to Azure, but you guys don't have any options for MySQL. And Scott says, well, actually we do, just keep it under your hat. And so this was like, what, less than 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, less than 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah. Between now and then, he's got a pretty interesting story. So, Kevin.
Yep. Thanks, Jason. So good afternoon, everybody. I'm Kevin Lozada. I'm the web developer. Awesome. Oh, let me change the screen here.
No, that was great, man. I mean, besides the computer reboot, but I mean.
So do I have any GeekWire readers by chance? We got some GeekWire readers. Thank you. So I'm the lone web developer for GeekWire. We are technology news. For those of you who aren't familiar with us, we're a technology news site based here in Seattle. I changed the wrong one. Here we go. There we go. So we have a fairly, as a news site and a growing news site, we have a fairly demanding use of, in our case, it's also WordPress, just like Matt. We get about 2 million visitors a month, generates over 3 million page views. Most days are fairly predictable. Monday through Friday are, you know, people wake up and they go to, you know, it starts at about 7 a.m. and it ramps up and then it tails off at the end of the day. That's not always the case. Our site also has to deal with very, very large traffic spikes. You know, you'll write a story. The most recent example, we wrote a story about Steve Ballmer and he's doing some new government data project on the side. Bill Gates happened to tweeted our story about Steve Ballmer, and you know, it sent off all sorts of traffic to the site. There's also a lot of load on the site from our writers. You know, I can cache the front end. We don't have our users don't log into the site, so I can effectively cache a lot of the pages for readers. But I can't do that for writers. We've got about 10 writers are on it at any given time during the day. And it gets a fairly, that is their workspace, more so than email. They edit inside of there. It's very time sensitive. If anything is slow, If I get timeout errors because the database isn't responding, I will hear about it immediately. And if they're on deadline for a story, they will not be happy with me. We were running on WP Engine, which is a completely managed WordPress experience. They give you different pricing tiers, but the actual infrastructure that they put together is a black box. They won't tell you how many processors or how many, is it on one VM or a cluster of VMs or whatnot. And their model is pretty much a lot of things that you would want to do on the back end. You know, if you wanted to tweak the PHP memory or the process pool, you wanted to increase that, or you wanted to increase the PHP memory limit, that requires either an online chat or an actual call to them, and they'll do the work on your behalf. Our site has gotten sophisticated enough, the performance needs were great enough, and also from a pricing perspective, like as you move up on some of those managed platforms, the pricing, it's a very premium pricing, especially when you get into the larger tiers, which is where we've started to reach. So we were planning a move of the site anyway. We wanted to break out all the workloads on our site. I believe what we had at our managed provider was a LAMP stack plus Memcache all running on one monolithic, you know, something like an 8-core, 6-core, 8-core box or something like that. So our goal for the move was, I want to break those out, be able to manage the scale. I want to monitor each one independently, and I want to be able to manage the scaling of each one independently. So as Jason said, I actually sent a complaint mail to Scott Guthrie. I worked with him a long time ago, like 15 years ago. I worked at Microsoft. And so I sent him a message, and I was just complaining. I said, hey, there's not a good MySQL option. This is what you guys should do. I'm going to go in a different direction. And he said, hey, keep the secret, but you know, we've got this MySQL service coming. So last 2 weeks, I kind of scrambled around. I literally just turned it on our site this weekend. So the other thing about our site, and this is more of a WordPress problem than anything else, WordPress is poorly architected. It requires lots and lots of database queries. If you go to our pages are even heavier than Matt's in terms of all of these elements on the page. You've got the stories, you've got the latest posts, you've got the most popular posts. All of these are independent queries. And if you don't do it correctly, they're all gonna hit MySQL and it's gonna fall on its face. So almost every element on here has some generation time, like this. The related stories actually make a request to an Elasticsearch server and then return it, and then you have to query MySQL and you have to grab the images and things like that. So our goal, our infrastructure, everything that we do has to be heavily cached, otherwise it will not perform. I could throw the largest MySQL database possible at it. So this is actually where we landed, and what I rolled out just a couple days ago. Cloudflare, we've been on Cloudflare for a while. That sits in front of the site as a web application firewall and a proxy. It's a protection mechanism for us. It does filter out some malicious SQL injection attacks and things like that. It also provides denial of service blocking, so that was important to us. Behind that, we've got a couple of Linux VMs. They run the Docker extension. This was our first venture into Docker. I found Docker actually made it simple to maintain and basically create and maintain the two containers that are important to us, which is the Nginx web server and then a PHP FPM container. And so we use FPM because it allows us to do the fast CGI caching on Nginx. So when we have one of those days where a site or a particular story goes viral, there's no way that the database is going to be able to handle the database or PHP. Both of them will fall down if they get, you know, if you're getting tens of thousands of views per minute or something like that. So the way the site is architected is that, you know, we use a microcache on Nginx, and it just, when an article can't get hit, the page will be cached for at least, I think I have it on either a minute or 2 minutes at the moment. So if you hit it, the next person hits it, they're gonna receive a cached version, which is, if you haven't used it, the Nginx page caching, it's pretty easy to set up, and it's fast, it's very fast. We swapped out Memcache. We're actually using the Azure Redis cache. All of the page elements in our site generate all those queries. A few of them are kind of heavy queries that you'd prefer not to send to the database when you don't have to. So, you know, it'll run, you know, it'll cache the query result in Redis for 30 minutes, or some of them might be 60 minutes, or some of them might be 15 minutes. It depends on which page element it is and how fresh we need that to be. And then we rolled out the MySQL database on Azure. And the beautiful thing about, I would say it about both of the services, both Redis and MySQL, I'm not super interested. I'm not super interested in tuning them. I don't want to worry about backups. All I really want to know about is it performing? Is what I have big enough, you know, and push the button and make it bigger if I need to. There's more work that I can do on the web layer or just on the site itself and not have to worry about that. So we rolled out the MySQL. We're in production on it. The site you see right now is in production. I can actually show you. So Jason had a really lame version of this that I'll show you a real one and generating some traffic here from the articles about build that we're writing. So this is our production database, and you're seeing the compute units on the bottom there. We're running right about 40%. This is just in the last hour. And our IO percent, about 62% or so. We don't have a huge storage need. We do have a huge IO need because of the sheer volume. Even though you cache queries in Redis and WordPress does a terrible job of it. And so we have a fairly high IO usage of the database. And then I also have, I've been playing around with some of their other solutions because this was a move to Azure for us. We weren't previously on Azure. So I'm actually importing our logs. I've got the two Docker containers on two VMs that are load balanced, and I can pull up logs. I think the one you're looking at here that's their PHP processor time on whatever VM, one of the two VMs. So you can see the traffic pattern that I was talking about. Obviously, our traffic went up there right around lunchtime, and I would imagine. Can I import the logs into Log Analytics from MySQL? There you go. You can also, if you're using the OMS solution here as a dashboard or a query interface for your MySQL logs, this could be a good solution. This could be a good solution for you. So anyway, I'm getting the yellow light here. So that's all I had for today. Did you want to wrap it up here?
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you.
That was great talk. And thank you, Matt, as well. Just quickly wrap it up. And we really highlight the things we talked about. Remember, this is built on a platform that is that's being built and proven by SQLDB, SQLAW with tens of thousands of customers. So it's robust, it's scalable. Oh, that's coming. Thank you. And it's proven. So That's one thing to keep in mind. And next thing, as I mentioned, and we iterate again, the high availability is built in as no extra cost. Keep that in mind. It comes in with no extra cost. Okay, and then the performance you can scale as Matt demonstrated. That's you can on the fly, back and down, up and down easily without any impact to your application. So you're seeing is believing. And lastly, you can see we're really deeply integrated with our Azure app services, the websites. And actually the session tomorrow talks in detail about how to use container websites and work with MySQL in the back end. All right, so a couple of things call to action. We have all documents live today. There's docs.microsoft.com and at ACOM as well. There's like a quick get started kit you can get your hands on. And today's session and Channel 9 earlier, we did the Channel 9 session as well. It's all live. You can go to review back. And also the template that Jason was talking about, ARM template, is also available at GitHub. You can download and play with it. And we have a couple of sessions today that's already happened earlier. So if you want to read it, you can go back to recording to look at it. There's also a session coming up tomorrow, like I mentioned, with the web app. If you plan to look understand more details of it, that's a session you can go to attend. And I think Rohan also has a session tomorrow, talks a bit about this part of the service as well, as part of the overall SQL data services. All right, now officially we can declare Microsoft loves MySQL. Okay. And so we do want to hear from you. We want to continue to improve. You are our motivation, how to make the service better or towards which direction. So give us your feedback and we will listen. And today's result is how we listen to our customer. And we want to continue that journey with you together. Thank you. Enjoy the rest.